It's been not that great for a while, but it's a lot less not that great now.
Swear to God, true story. Swear to God. He said.
Houston, we have a problem.
It's unacceptable.
Impressive. Most impressive.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
You're listening to a best of the Brian Suits Show.
I don't want to say the name of Amazon's personal assistant. What are they called?
Alexa.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to say it because I don't want to wake people's that up. But I've held off on getting the Google one or the Amazon one and all that. I like some of the ones that are pretty good speakers. So fill the room with sound. But I, you know. So I heard the creepiest darn thing down in Vegas. The Amazon has a developers conference called Remars, like RE:Mars. And they unveiled the ability to imitate your dead relatives with that device. So there's a Amazon developer up on stage and he's, you know, they're trading off different parts about the Amazon web service and all this. And this, then the guy for Alexa comes up and he starts talking about how it now in the regular voice can express empathy. And I'm like, well, who needs that? How sad a life is that? That you say
artificial empathy incoming.
I know it's Zuckerberg level, you know, hello, I am now. We are now Meta. I call that Meta, whatever. And I haven't even heard this level of creepiness out of him. So he's describing how now the Alexa device can exude empathy. But wait, there's more. It can imitate your, for instance, dead grandma.
One thing that surprised me the most about Alexa is the companionship relationship we have with it.
You're welcome, by the way. I'm beeping that out because I don't want the complaining emails about, oh, thanks, jerky jerk face. I'm sitting at home. Anyway.
In this companionship role, human attributes of empathy and affect are key for building trust. Let's take a look on one of the new capabilities we are working on, which enables lasting personal relationships.
Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz?
Okay, but how about my courage? Asked the lion anxiously. You have plenty of courage, I am sure, answered Oz. All you need is confidence in yourself.
As you saw in this experience, instead of Alexa's voice reading the book, it's the kid's grandma's voice. This required invention where we had to learn to produce a high-quality voice with less than a minute of recording versus hours of recording in a studio. The way we made it happen...
Okay, wait. I'm sorry, what? Wait, go back. What? First of all, I don't want the personal assistant bonding with me by showing human-like empathy. So there's that.
Well, and how about the bizarre soundbite about building trust?
No!
I don't want to build trust with a weird machine that is not human.
That's why I'm never going to get a self-driving car.
Like, it's not a real relationship, people.
Yeah.
This is not how things work.
And they don't, of course, they don't say it. I'm inferring it that when Grandma passes to Valhalla, you'll always have her in the machine.
You have plenty of courage, I am sure, answered Oz.
And so all I'm saying is I'm not getting it. This doesn't enhance my desire to get a personal, what are they called?
No, for me, it does digital assistant or something. For me, it does the opposite, actually. And did they stop and ask, do people want a daily reminder that your loved one is gone forever? Typically, I know it's great to remember the dead and honor the dead, and you have occasions where you do that. You can mark birthdays of the deceased or the day they passed or go down memory lane in a photo book if you so choose. But to call their voice back into your life, who wants a daily pang of like, remember how much you love this person?
Yeah.
They're dead. They're rotting 6 feet under as you hear their voice.
Personal relationships.
Can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz?
No, she's dead. And that's the other thing, is the role of memory You know, it was a phenomenon. We all know that memories change. You know, if you could go back and with a camera that doesn't blink and show reality, grandma might be a jerk, you know, or whatever. But in your memory, you know, all sins are washed away and the whole thing. And this, I think you would start melding reality
yes.
with fictional. Like you'd say, Alexa, have grandma read me today's sports scores or something. And then
right.
maybe you'd have years later, you'd say, oh, remember grandma and I used to sit around and talk about the NL West. No, grandma didn't know an inflatable fly from, you know, whatever. And
you know what they're going to do? Because I started to see this trend in movies and things out of Hollywood and television shows. They're going to bring back dead actors and have them do full on feature length films
yeah.
as in like a CGI kind of thing. The Boba Fett series it was The Mandalorian brought back Luke Skywalker. And they brought back Mark Hamill as a young man.
Because it had to fit the timeline.
Yes.
And Mandalorian happened sort of early in our understanding of the first Star Wars with Luke Skywalker. And then also Christopher Lee, the dead English actor Christopher Lee was brought back. And then.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. And it was fully, you know, CGI.
But isn't.
And then Princess Leia, didn't they.
Yes.
Animate
part of
Fisher.
Her face. That's right. It seems morally, dare I say, reprehensible to inject words and feelings and emotions and motives into someone that's dead.
Okay.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
You're right, Malcolm.
The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
So anyway,
I'm glad we both don't like this because I read this story a few days ago and I was very creeped out.
Yeah. And I, you know, if you could have the voice, then I guess imitate anyone. I would say President Ronald Reagan. I want him walking around. I want him in the house with me. But then
you could put a communist socialist mumbo jumbo in his mouth and have him repeat it. And people would be like, oh, did he really say that in the 80s? Or is that something brand new?
And that's the thing. That's the thing. And this is where this developer, while he's sitting here crowing about empathy and how they made the algorithm read the.
The way we made it happen is by framing the problem as a voice conversion task.
But should you have done this? You know what?
Yes.
What he's unaware of is that anything like this will be abused. You know,
yes.
when they came up with DARPANET, when Gore invented the internet, did he ask himself, Al, will this be used for porn? Well, yes, yes, it will. Around 5 p.m. West Coast time, 50% of the internet is used for adult content, and this thing. You know, I don't care about how you developed it. You know, you're going to be...
By framing the problem as a voice conversion task.
A voice conversion task. Goodbye, speech recognition security. Bye-bye.
Interesting, yeah. Right.
Though I don't know that... You know what I just did? I accidentally turned off my thumbprint wake-up for my phone yesterday. Mm-hmm. So when I re-added it, I said, yeah, let's do face and thumb.
Somehow. Oh, you added the face.
Yeah, I haven't had it ask me for that, though. I reinstated the thumbprint. But anyway, I heard that. And here's the thing. I literally don't remember what my Nana sounded like. I don't remember what my grandma, Edith McLeod of Victoria, B.C., sounded like. I really do not. Because she died when I was young. She died when I was like 12 or 13. She's not a warm person. Not a very warm person, very Scottish, and I don't have any memory of the sound of her voice.
Mm-hmm.
So this sounds to me, the way he described it, is you need at least 1 minute of the recorded voice of the person of your dead loved one, you know, or live loved one, because they don't say in his little example, they don't say, but you need 1 minute. The more, the better. It can add subtleties to it.
Here's a thought experiment. If you only need 1 minute of a real recording of a person's voice, how many things could you manipulate? So think about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of that trial was based on what? Audio recordings of interactions between Johnny and Amber in their house. So all you would need in the future, you couldn't use that kind of evidence anymore because you could just basically make up things a person says and go, look, no, I took this recording. And you go, that's not my voice. And you go, yeah, it is. And the negative possibilities here are truly endless. And I don't think these innovators and people in the tech space are really learning from the mistakes of the past. There's a great documentary called The Social Dilemma.
Oh, which, terrific.
If you haven't seen it, highly recommend you going out and watching it. It's on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
It's about how evil Facebook is.
Basically, it's about how social media has kind of ruined everything and how the inventors of all these wonderful pieces of technology set out with the greatest of intentions. We're going to revolutionize the world and everybody's going to use these tools for good and we're going to reign in this utopia. But what they failed to recognize is human nature is equal parts evil and equal parts good. And any tool that's created can be used for the worst parts of human impulses or the best parts. So the same thing is true for all these innovations and revolutionary things that are coming out, is that no one is considering, well, how could this be used for nefarious purposes at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Ask yourself that question every time you're trying to revolutionize
the
space.
The quick answer is I'm not getting it in my house, you know, and the whole thing. It's just that how it affects other people eventually changes society. I think our social media has not been good for human interaction in America. Over the past 20 years, it just has not. That's ALEXA. Am I right?
Okay.
You're listening to a Best of the Brian Suit Show on AM 770 KTTH.
AM 770 KTTH. You know what we did at my house, producer Greg? We found a patch of the native strawberry, and I alluded to this last week, but we gave it some tender loving care. We probably a 10 square foot patch of original indigenous native strawberry.
And do they still have some growing to do?
They're just flowering now. There's a rabbit, and it's lucky that I haven't unleashed the Kraken, the coyote on it. And so I'm going to get, and you know what? I'm really mad because it ate back one of my raspberries. I'm going to say, I don't want a cruelty-free trap. I want extra cruelty. This rabbit has to pay. It has to think about what it's done.
You want a little torture with the death.
Yeah, please.
The zero strategy.
Anyway, you know, it's funny because the more the world cares about a thing, because I've seen the world, it sucks. I can't wait for the plane back, right? Well, I'm back. I don't care about the World Cup. And I'm glad America doesn't care about the World Cup. I care about the Women's World Cup because soccer is a women's sport. They look good playing it. They're a team. It's great. We win. So I care. Okay. Especially when they beat China. The Men's World Cup, I'm glad we don't care about. Eurovision is such bad music. It's all the same crap. And you want to hear the runner-up?
Of course.
That would be Kerja from Finland and his song.
And a 1, 2, 3.
His song Cha Cha Cha. It's all about how much he's going to party and drink. Oh, by the way, it's Eurovision, so he has to sing it in European. It all sounds like that. By the way, that's the runner-up. That's the silver medal. That's if not for the person who won, that would be the song that won. It's nuts how bad this was. And this you know, and the guy's from Finland. He is singing in Suomi.
That's one of the concerts you go to and you walk away thinking,
we are still smelling a lot of drugs in the air.
No, if you go to this concert, you have lost a bet. And that's that. It was in Liverpool because last year's winner was Ukrainian and they can't hold it in Ukraine because there's a war or some deal. I'll have to check the news on that. But they had this... this bizarre music contest in Liverpool,
And all I saw, God, you watch BBC on the weekends. And they were just over the moon. That was in England. And it's almost like the event is the event. It's not about any good music because you didn't hear it.
Are you going to play the number one song or do you have it in front of you?
Oh, you bet.
Do you want to subject the listeners to that?
Well, here's the start of Cha Cha Cha, the Finnish song.
This is tasty.
Didn't it sound like the guy just had like a Nintendo or he had Guitar Hero or something and then just threw some finish at it? And he's wearing like the arms and back of a puffy leather jacket. It's the most European thing. Well, and so here's musical legend Loreen, and here's the winner. Okay, the big headline here was that she's a repeat winner, so you must know her name. Because she won Eurovision 12 years ago. And I'm sure she's a big deal in Sweden, it's a big deal to be a big deal in Sweden. And she did a live performance, and the crowd goes wild. And it's an equally horrible song.
Anybody got a lock there?
This is a minute. We're at a minute 41 into the, and this is what the song has done for the first 2 minutes.
Let's rock.
That's the winning song.
There you go.
that's your winner, and for the second time, first ever repeat winner, Loreen. So get ready for that to become a household name.
That's painful.
And of course, she's wearing a tight leatherish, you know, pleather outfit, rolling around, and there's a fan on her, and there's smoke, and the crowd goes wild. And then she properly got machine gunned.
There. Not impressed.
That's the thing that kills me is every year, you know, you hear about, well, America should be involved in Eurovision. We'd win it. We would win it. A polka band would win it. An American polka band would win it every year. It's just the talent gap. I mean, this would not be the second round on American Idol. I denounce you, Europe and Eurovision. And also, what's the deal with Australia and Israel being in Eurovision? I mean, really. So you're not fooling anyone, Europe. You're fresh out of talent. So there's that. And I think Israel won it a couple of years ago.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Because those people can sing. So again, from the continent that brought you, I have to go there. From the continent that brought you Hitler. There's only bar and pina colada. I'll turn the music off and I'll read the subtitle. There's only bar and pina colada on my mind. Here's a little bit of the music. There is some time for a few. The night is still youngish. Is that that's a word in Finland? This icy shell is something I have to demolish. It at least runs in subtitles. Holding on the drinks with both hands tied. Cha 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 cha. Sir, he got robbed. That's what I can tell you.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
For having Eurovision on. Anyway, he got robbed. He should not be the runner-up. It's a way better song than Loreen. And her song is Tattoo. That's the name of the winning song is Tattoo. So there you go, folks. I subject you to 5 free minutes of...
I didn't have a case of the Mondays before, but I do now. Thanks for that.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
How, you know, and I can't go, I can't describe over the top enough and European enough to, I don't know what it is. It is really weird. It's almost like they're mocking or mimicking our culture or something, only without any of the talent. And it's funny because I'm watching this, you know, story about Taylor Swift, who I wouldn't know one of her songs, you know, if it jumped up on the table and started tap dancing Taylor Swift songs are here again. But I guarantee a second tier, you know, a tribal casino level band is still better than Eurovision. No, I banned thee.
Thank you for cutting that off about 3 seconds.
Yeah, I promise. I promise you'll never hear in the second place, first place, or any place in Eurovision. I honestly guess it's a matter of trivia that ABBA won in 1974. That's what launched ABBA, was Waterloo. That's what they won Eurovision with, and that's not even their best song. They did some better stuff later on. It may not feel like it, but we're in the midst of the greatest wealth transfer in history. Except you baby boomers aren't doing your part. The script says you die, but you're not dying fast enough. Of the 73 million baby boomers, the youngest are turning 60. The oldest boomers are nearing 80. Born in mid-century, as U.S. birth rates surged in tandem with an enormous leap in prosperity. After that that depression they had on, and then the old World War II, boomers are now beginning to die in larger numbers, along with Americans older than 80, who traditionally have been the leaders in death. Most will leave behind thousands of dollars, a home, or not much at all. Others are leaving their heirs on hundreds of thousands or millions or billions of dollars. So the over-under for the baby boomers, in 1989, total family wealth in the U.S. was around $38 trillion, adjusted for inflation.
That's trillion with an alien?
That's trillion with an alien. And by 2022, that wealth had more than tripled. All right, over or under, producer Greg, over or under 100 trillion. Get it right or I'm going to play Eurovision.
Let's go with the under.
Over. $140 trillion. Dollars, and you're not getting away with this, by the way.
Anybody got a monster?
Gotta get those over-unders right, or I'm going to play the Finn, the dude for Finland. So $140 trillion of the $84 trillion projected to be passed down from older Americans to millennial and Gen Xers, Gen X heirs, I should say. Through 2045, $16 trillion will be transferred within the next decade. By the way, if you haven't figured it out, you know, higher-end retirement homes or death centers are going to be a big demand from the boomers, probably the ones in their 60s, because they're going to want to relive. They want to redo. Everyone wants a redo of their 20s. And that's the entire point of working hard so that you can redo your 20s. But when you're all wrinkly and baggy, when you're 60. So anyway, no longer an oncoming phenomenon, said Douglas Boneparth, a 38-year-old financial advisor whose New York firm caters to affluent millennials. He said his present day, I bet they'll be doing very well.
You're listening to a best of the Brian Suits Show on AM 770 KTTH. You're listening to a best of the Brian Suits Show.
Let me just do this. This involves storm drains and drug addicts, and what drug addicts use the storm drains for. Whereas I might, for instance, walk out of the studio and go to the men's room. That's not what they do.
What do you prefer as far as terminology?
Oh, downstairs. That thing is epic.
No,
handicap bathroom. Different question.
I have lots of stories about the downstairs bathroom over 16 years. Phraseology here. Excrement, feces.
I'm going with feces.
Or defecation.
Well, that's
the poopy.
Defecation is a verb.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Diarrhea. So here's what's happening in San Francisco. They have a adopt a drain program, and let me give you the precursor. This is a problem that's been going on for a long time. I take you back to 2012. The movable stairs aren't moving, and that's because numbers 1 and 2 are gumming up the works. This is from NBC Bay Area. The BART escalator at Civic Center Station was shut down by a giant steaming pile of human effluvia. So much human waste, in fact, that workers called in a hazmat team, according to the San Francisco Chronicle. This is 2012. So in other words, an escalator, you know, movable staircase, was so stuck because the subway closes at 1 a.m. and the homeless were using it as a bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And so, but it's not. But that's just the beginning of the problem. The problem is that they tend to be heroin or fentanyl addicts. They're opioid addicts. And ask anyone up at ER, at Harborview ER, opioid addicts get constipated. A good long walk won't do it. A bunch of cups of coffee won't do it. They get badly constipated to the point where oftentimes when they do go to an ER, which is frequent with now with the prevalence of Narcan, they also will make that complaint. I mean, or sometimes that is their complaint. I mean, they're badly constipated. And when it's time for the dam to break, the dam breaks. And in San Francisco, they do it in the drain. They do it in the storm drain, you know, because sometimes there's no more room on the sidewalk. I mean, not kidding. Well, San Francisco's adopted drain program where residents volunteer to monitor and clean out a designated catch basin. And wow, you got to be dedicated to do that. Has gotten lots of social media attention. Because you get to name them with cutesy names like Lana Del Drain, you know, sort of a takeoff on Lana Del Rey, the singer, or Draymond Green, the Golden State Warrior, Draymond Green, you see. Problem is, as one San Francisco resident succinctly described their neighborhood stench after the massive flooding this week, quote, feces, it's feces, close quote. This is the issue in San Francisco. And I thought we were different here, but someone corrected us at 6:30 with the text. But in San Francisco, they had a unique system where the because you all understand in your city, there's a septic system and that is your waste. Right. Then there's a storm drain system and they don't connect. Usually in San Francisco, they do eventually connect. And during this massive flooding, the storm drains that have been used for years, or even like this, you know, San Francisco can go a year without any rain. Now, all of a sudden, it's all there. Well, the effluvia, and let's go ahead and stick a pin in that. Let's start saying effluvia instead of those lurid words that we were using. Diarrhea. The effluvia comes back up the storm drain. And there you go. Okay. So, and this is a unique property of cities that are tolerating opioid addicts living on the sidewalk, treating their sidewalk like a bedroom until they treat it like a bathroom or a gastroenterologist's examination room. So this is coming to a head right now in San Francisco and Santa Barbara, which also does this. Now, we heard from someone. And I mean, I know better than to just take someone's nickname on a text, you know, for expertise. That's the way it is here in Seattle and Tacoma. But the other difference, though, is that it doesn't deluge here. It doesn't just pour the way it's pouring on Ellen DeGeneres in San Francisco and the rest of it. But it's a side effect of tolerating opioid addicts, you know, in your city. And I'll stand by this. Mayor Bruce Harrell, whatever he's doing, if somehow the homeless industrial complex are diverting the homeless and getting them to stay in those homes, like the one down by Chinatown or the ones in Ballard, I have noticed less homelessness here in South Lake Union. Haven't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not completely gone.
Have you checked under the I-5 viaduct?
Yeah, there's been some real progress here. Absolutely.
There was one sign, like in a cold morning, like this morning, as you're coming up I-5 and you stay on I-5, you don't take I-90 East. There's a huge encampment there. And this morning, I forgot to give people a traffic heads up. I'm sure it came to a head at some point, but huge gouts of campfire smoke coming from underneath there. And eventually, the city of Seattle shows up with fire trucks and they put it out and it takes half an hour and the whole thing. But it's that I've noticed. But around here where we were getting them camping and all that, I see less of it. And however, you go to Third and Pike, Third and Pine, and everything I just described in San Francisco, that's still there. And only tourists don't go to the areas where the homeless are in San Francisco. But every time, if anyone comes here, because every single football game in Seattle starts off with guys throwing salmon, and you have to go to the Pike Place Market, I could not dissuade a visitor strongly enough from avoiding the Pike Place Market. Because if you do want to see an excellent San Francisco simulator, then take a tiny cup of coffee and walk around Third and Pine until you, and this is also a great Portland simulator, until you walk in effluvia.
You might even come across some
Baccaria
on the ground.
This I can tell you, between second and third and Pine, there are alleys where it's just full on. I mean,
and it's
like
not
pants
the
down
alleys.
And they're going right there. Nine in the morning.
I had a buddy of mine who worked at the Showbox Market for years and years, which is right there by Pike Place Market. And I said, how's it like working there? He said, oh, the shows are great. You know, you get free music every day, great bands that tour. He said, what I really don't like, though, is cleaning up the poop on the doorstep of our establishment on a daily basis.
It is funny how
not in the back alleys, right out in the open.
Yeah. And it's like in a little alcove. And it's like, wait, I draw the line on going on the sidewalk because I have my modesty. I'm going to do this. Opioid result, the medical result of opioid addiction. I'm going to do it right in your alcove. So, I can attest, what we're talking about with this, the state drug law that the Pierce County prosecutor, Rob Nett, is talking, her last name is Rob Nett, about is that we don't have leverage on drug addicts because of the Supreme Court overturning as unconstitutional the state felony, drug possession law and all that. There's no more leverage to get them to go to jail. And unless you want Washington or Seattle or Tacoma to turn into Oregon by July, that has to change. I'd go ahead and make that priority number one to the newly invested, newly sworn in session of the state legislature, because there's so many ancillary problems. Never mind what I just spoke around and called a flu. Never mind that. It's how they fund it. It's all the minor crime that leads to an increased crime rate here and a prosecutor's inability to do anything about it. So maybe take care of that. Anyway, so yeah, there's a picture. I retweeted the pictures of Odin and Colt and a link to the PayPal to get them Kevlar vests. And they're good boys is what they are. Look at that.
Who's a good boy?
Got to have tongues out for the dog porkers.
You're listening to a best of the Brian Suit Show.
This is not a commercial, right?
This is the band Phoenix, one of my favorite music groups of all time.
They sound pretty generic.
What?
They sound like Sky Rizzy.
Sounds like 80s goodness with modern day production.
No, sounds like Sky. Sounds like Jardians.
Ask your doctor if you have rectal bleeding.
See your doctor about Ozempic. So anyway, do China's recent military purges spell trouble for Xi Jinping? Well, it's certainly not a vote of confidence. Trusted and favored by Xi Jinping, now they seem to be vanishing one by one. And like I said last week, when they accuse you of corruption and you're above the rank of major in the Chinese military, in the People's Liberation Army, they all know everybody does it. It means that you're out. It means you better have something stocked away somewhere, because everybody in the Chinese Communist Party, that's why they join, is to wet their beak and get a piece of the action and the whole thing. If they get you for lifestyle irregularities, then in the case of Xin Gang, the foreign minister from last year, he was a rising star because he spent years as a Chinese ambassador to the U.S. He did very well. He spoke not perfect, but colloquial English. And, you know, worked comfortably amongst American circles, but they accused him of having an affair. And so he's gone. And the head of the PLA now is going to change. And that would be Li Shangfu, not been seen in public for weeks. But then the Chinese dropped, well, he's being investigated for corruption. If you're being investigated for corruption, you've been convicted of corruption. And that's that. Because, you know, like I say, they all do it to get a piece of the action. But it would appear that too many pieces of the action were taken. But these are, you know, Xi appointees. And that's kind of the deal there. That he loses face. He loses stature when people that he appointed turn out to not be the best ever. But listen to how ominous this is. And besides some of the checks that the Chinese foreign policy has been writing, blowing up in their faces, like the thing on the island in Indonesia where they say, we're going to need you to move every single human being off the island to a different island. Belgrade, Serbia. Most of Europe was in lockdown in April of 2020 when a plane arrived in the Serbian capital bearing a well-timed gift from the People's Republic of China. Inside was a Chinese invention in April of 2020 called the FireEye, a sophisticated portable lab that could detect coronavirus infections from tiny genetic fragments that the pathogen leaves behind. Well, that was thrown together pretty quickly, wasn't it? And that, as Serbians soon discovered, was the least of its capabilities. The FireEye excelled not only at cracking the genetic code for viruses, but also for humans, with machines that can decipher genetic instructions contained within the cells of every person on Earth. According to its Chinese inventors, in late 2021, with the pandemic still raging, Serbian officials announced they were working with a Chinese company to convert the lab into a permanent facility with plans to harvest and curate the entire genome of Serbian citizens. So the machine doesn't have to come to your country. It just needs the genome. So anyway, the headline in this Washington Post story, China's quest for human genetic data spurs fears of a DNA arms race. Well, it's over. There is a DNA arms race, and the Chinese have won, because we're not deploying the ability to take people's DNA from around the world. The Chinese have it now. Anywhere, and you know, I'm not a big believer in conspiracy theories staying secret. That's why I never bought any 9/11 conspiracy crap. That's too big of a deal. It wouldn't stay secret. Something like this, though, dribs and drabs out, because the Chinese they've had a great reason to come to your country and take your citizens or your ethnicity's DNA, including Iceland. I think the Icelandic government was the first to patent their ethnicity. They have the genome of the Icelandic people, which is one of the most homogenous, besides the Korean Peninsula, on Earth. But now the Chinese have been on a quest to get everybody's DNA. What they do with it? Well, it's up to them now. So, you know, gentlemen, start your speculation. But the more evil it is, the more I'm likely to believe it on that. But It says Serbia's scientists were thrilled, and the country's prime minister, Ana Brnabic, praised China for giving the Balkan country the most advanced institute for precision medicine and genetics in the region, close quote. And so Belgrade is festooned now with electronic billboards praising Brother Xi and saying Vala, saying thank you, Brother Xi. And the Chinese paid for them. They said, if we pay for these billboards praising the chairman, will you put them up? And the Serbs said, what's not to like? So that's your day in China, by the way. But it's a scary read. It's a nationwide, the Chinese Communist Party's drive to sweep up DNA from across the planet. And I mean, all I know is if the prologue is this, they powered and poured billions into facial recognition so that, not so that they could give you recommendations on fresh broccoli versus, you know, or farm raised or whatever, so that they could track you. And they weaponized that. So the British, you know, as far as that goes, by the way, but that's to like prevent terrorism. The Chinese did it to track their own citizens. To the point now where I saw there was something on Twitter where they're trying to eliminate cash in China. There's markets where if you have the correct social credit score, you can go in the market and select your items, put them in a basket, and then it will debit your account. Whatever Chinese bank that you bank with, they take your face picture of you and they tie it to your debit card. And you walk out having paid for it. But you don't get in unless you have a certain social credit score. And your social credit score takes hits if you jaywalk. So, I mean, keeping in mind that they will weaponize everything to turn it into human control, it doesn't fill me with confidence or optimism. And I know those are my middle names, that the Chinese have successfully used their own virus to scoop up the DNA of every ethnicity on the face of the earth. How ominous could that be? Could they engineer the next COVID-25 to only affect Belgians or the Icelandic people because they want that island? You know, who knows? I don't know. But I have a weird track record of predicting the future. So, and you know, but all you have to do is look at the past. So like I say, look at what they did with facial recognition. They turned it into a way to control their own population because that's how afraid she is about a 50% plus youth unemployment rate is when people start talking to each other. And also, by the way, I assumed everyone is mic'd. I don't mean wearing a mic. I mean, but if you have a cell phone with you, I think that the MSS, the Ministry for State Security, has a way because Huawei, all the companies, the most popular cell companies in China are Chinese made, including Apple. And that I guarantee if they have a suspicion about some executive assistant, they have the ability to turn the mic on. And I'm not going to say the words, but many of you do, too. And so, like, I have a niece whose name is very similar. It's the beginning of the one name that you say to the Android device. Her full name is Alexandra, but you see what I'm saying there. So I have no doubt that the Chinese have the ability to turn on an individual's phone and record what they're saying. If they're sitting there under their breath at the coffee, you know, machine going, oh, that President Xi is really full of crap, isn't he? This whole take Taiwan thing, that's hooey. I mean, why don't they just hold the vote? I mean, really, they don't want to be commies. They're, you know, anyway.
Right to jail.
I'll see you back there at the Ministry for, you know, whatever state tracking of social scores. Zoom meeting at noon. See you later. Take it easy. Take it sleazy, bro.
Put you in jail right away. No trial, no nothing.
So, yeah, weaponizing facial recognition and seeking our DNA. So what's not to like? Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Good morning, China.
Good morning, China.